escape pod ready.
Launch escape pod.
I'm Earl Green, and I'll be your guide through the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unmistakably geeky. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday.
We have a go from Andy. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Booster ignition and liftoff of the Space Shuttle Atlantis, extending America's presence in space while opening new chapters in exploration.
Houston, now control. Houston, now control. Control. Roll program initiated. Place Atlantis on its heads down track over the Atlantic.
On this day in 1997, Space Shuttle Atlantis lifted off for an 11-day mission to the Mir space station. During this mission, the first joint American-Russian spacewalk was conducted as the shuttle and station crews surveyed the damage the station suffered in a recent collision with an unmanned cargo vehicle. In 2002, a close call for planet Earth, a space object measuring almost 300 feet in diameter, exploded over a Russian mountain range, blasting 40 square miles of forest to the ground. The discovery of unusual elements on the ground under the airburst led researchers to believe that a comet nucleus exploded just before it could collide with Earth's surface. In 1992, NASA launched the Mars Observer, its first spacecraft to explore the Red Planet since the 1970s Viking missions.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And liftoff of the Titan III rocket with the Mars Observer and America's return to the Red Planet. And the vehicle has cleared the tower. Roll program is in. Pitch program is in.
It didn't make it. NASA lost contact with the Mars Observer just before it could enter orbit around Mars 11 months later and blamed the problem on cost-cutting measures, such as using an engine designed for an Earth-orbiting satellite, which tends not to cruise through the cold of deep space for months between firings. In 2008, China launched its third manned spaceflight, Shenzhou 7, whose crew conducted the first Chinese spacewalk. There was also some controversy associated with the mission, since Shenzhou 7 passed within 30 miles of the International Space Station during one of its orbits on the three-day mission. Author Shel Silverstein was born today in 1930. Actor Mark Hamill was born on this day in 1951. Born today in 1952, Christopher Reeve. And born today in 1968, Will Smith. Author Marion Zimmer Bradley died on this day in 1999. And in 2003, writer and former Intellivision spokesman George Plimpton died.
I compared Atari baseball with Intellivision and found Intellivision played much more like real baseball. Then I compared Atari football with Intellivision. Again, Intellivision played more like the real game.
Author John M. Ford, who helped to define the Klingons in his Star Trek novel, The Final Reflection, died in 2006. In 1989, it was a sea change for Star Trek The Next Generation.
It's just a science project. You know, a doctor friend once said the same thing to me. Frankenstein was his name. When they're equipped with only the most basic of skills, it's almost impossible they could be responsible. Almost. You won't tell anybody, will you? I know I will, if it's true. Wes, do you think you're gonna get a good grade? I always get an A. So did Dr. Frankenstein.
The show's third season premiere brought new uniforms and a new character-driven storytelling style, as overseen by new head writer Michael Piller. This season also saw the return of Gates McFadden as Dr. Crusher. In 2003, Doctor Who fandom woke up to astonishing news.
If you remember who the Daleks are and you can pick Davros out of an identity parade, then you're going to love this. Doctor Who, the classic BBC show from the 60s, 70s and 80s, is coming back with a brand new look. The man who wrote Queer as Folk, Russell T. Davies, has been put in charge of the storylines. The TARDIS is staying, but all that cardboard scenery's just got to go. For Whoies, as they're probably never called, it's a very big deal. Here's Newsbeat's entertainment reporter, Dominic Byrne.
The last episode of Doctor Who was shown back in 1989. Reruns have been put on UK Gold since, but news there's going to be a brand new series is getting some people very excited.
I'm David Bickerstaff, one of many people who run the Doctor Who Appreciation Society.
I'm a Time Lord.
He knows everything about Doctor Who, so what does he make of the man who wrote Queer as Folk, Russell T. Davis, reinventing the Doctor?
As long as it sticks to the sort of the roots of the show, it'll be fine. And also, he's a fan.
We had a nice chat, and I was genuinely willing to be convinced that Doctor Who is a work of genius. But then he said this.
The acting was brilliant in Doctor Who.
It is not registered in my vocabulary.
The acting was brilliant in Doctor Who.
Exterminate!
The Daleks are obviously just as famous as the Doctor himself. Now, don't ask how, but I've managed to get hold of a mobile phone number for Davros. So what does Mr. Head of the Daleks think to it all?
Hello, Davros speaking.
Oh, hiya, Dav. It's Dominic at Radio 1. Hello.
Ah, Dominic. Excellent.
You're obviously not really called Davros. What's your real name?
Terry Malloy. In a way, all power to the, you know, the BBC to actually have now finally listened to what the fans have been saying for years and bring Doctor Who back.
The Time Lord was returning in a new series, though it wouldn't be seen until 2005. You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. And you can pick up the Logbook's original books and DVDs, along with hundreds of other titles, in the Logbook.com store. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
Commencing Escape Pod with the Prone Seeker. The Logbook.com Escape Pod was written and produced by Earl Payne.